Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had occasion to just burst into song? You know, like they do in those Broadway musicals or some movies or a Broadway play. During the Christmas season, you've heard carols that extol our Christian faith, and sometimes it just seems proper to break into "Joy to the World," or on a Christmas Eve when you're gathered with family in a warm home and decorated with all the trappings of the season, and outside there are just a few flakes of snow and a quiet moment with strings of a ukulele, you might feel it's just the right time to sing "Silent Night." No. In a couple of days around midnight, many people will break into "Auld Lang Syne" in order to celebrate coming in of the new year. Dear Christian friends, the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel are written like a musical play. There are four hymns that are commonly used in a Christian liturgy, all of which were first sung at just the right moment. The first people to sing the song burst into singing. There is Vicar Bennett's favorite, the Magnificat, the song sung by Mary when she announced that she was pregnant to her cousin Elizabeth. It's full of joy and praise to God for having blessed Mary with such a wonderful gift, which was that she was to be the mother of the promised Christ child. We as Christians have shared her joy for some 2,000 years by repeating this song during the liturgy because of beauty of the words, like, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Later on in Luke's Gospel, we find the Benedictus, a song that was sung by Zechariah when John the Baptist was born, and Zechariah's tongue was finally released and he was free and able to speak once more. The hymn is sung as one alternative during the order of matins and is a marvelous song of praise and blessing, again, having been preserved by the Christian faith for all these centuries because of words like, "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a mighty salvation for us, and you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, to give light to them that sit in darkness and the shadow of death." Of course, when Jesus was born, we're told of the great song that was sung by that great angel choir, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." We call it the Gloria in Excelsis, and we sing it in most morning services, whether there is communion to be celebrated or not. And finally, in today's text, we are given the words to the great Nunc Dimittis, the song that we sing many days at the dismissal of communion, when we've celebrated the Lord's Supper and we ourselves have seen Jesus, flesh and blood. These songs have been used by Christians for centuries because they each in their own way point to Jesus as the Savior who would sacrifice his very own blood in exchange for your souls. In the worship of God during the Old Testament times, the Israelites used to perform sacrifices. But for us, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice for your sins, and the praises that you sing are appropriate for such a wonderful gift, such as his death on the cross for us. The words of the last song that we've talked about and the rest of the gospel reading for today point us to a message that brings us where we talk about looking for consolation, as Simeon did when he was waiting so patiently for this moment when he would see Jesus and break into singing this now familiar song for the very first time. Simeon was looking for consolation in the same way that you look for comfort. Thinking about this reading, my mind repeatedly wandered to thinking of another song that here in America is quite recognizable, but it's only about 150 years old. It goes like this. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. You recognize those words as the battle hymn of the Republic. It was written by a lady named Julia Ward Howe in the early years of the bloody Civil War here in this country. This hymn was at a time written as an indictment of the nation and its sin of slavery. But if you contemplate the words of this great hymn in the light of today's age, you might find it appropriate also as we fight against all the evil in our world. When you look around, you can easily see where God might execute His mighty judgment against the world, a place where murder by abortion is commonplace, where young men sometimes take their own lives, as I was called to the other night, where evil men use God's word as an excuse for murdering each other, and other evil men invoke the name of other gods for the purposes of making war. We see the sin that condemns all men to judgment around us, and there is fear. And you don't have to look far either. There is violence right in our own neighborhoods. Maybe right in your own families in the way you abusively talk to each other. You know firsthand about the grapes of wrath in your own age. You know how His truth is marching on for judgment to sinners. The point is, we have all seen evil in the world with our very own eyes. And we know that evil deserves the harsh judgment of an Almighty God. It is this judgment that leaves us frightened of death. All around, even here in our own church family, we encounter people who are facing death as an imminent matter. Some of them are people who don't know salvation and are deathly afraid of what is to come. Of course, all of you have things that are important for you, like participating in the lives of your children and your grandchildren. None of you want to be left alone to be abandoned by the death or of a partner or a loved one from your own lives. And so, people, all of us, are looking for consolation. And there is a reason for the fear of those who do not know Christ. While God alone will judge them, the fear that is within their hearts is real. And that fear of harsh judgment is a realistic expectation of what is to come. So it is in fear that they or their family call upon a pastor or even one of you looking for consolation. They are, in effect, doing the same thing that Simeon was doing in the temple. They're looking for something that will rescue them from judgment. Some of them have lived their whole life without having seen Christ. And others of them have seen Christ and have heard the saving message of His forgiveness, but they weren't listening. But it's not the battle hymn of the Republic that's the text for this message. It's not, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Rather, the words of the Nunc Dimittis are, for my eyes have seen Thy salvation. These words are much more reassuring, aren't they? These words carry with them a promise, not a condemnation, These words are what we seek when we are looking for consolation. Simeon was waiting in anticipation of the Savior. He wasn't told who would be the parents or how he was to identify them, but he remained in the temple waiting. During the past few weeks before Christmas, you heard people say to each other over and over, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And some would say no, and others would just shrug and say, "As ready as I'm going to be." Now, Simeon was ready. He was waiting in great anticipation to have revealed before his eyes the promise that was given to him by the Lord that he would see the Savior before his death. The words "my eyes have seen" have great significance too. For if you've seen something for yourself, you believe it, don't you? They call the state of Missouri the show me state because of the stubbornness of the people who want to see it before they believe it. But Simeon here was given the great opportunity to see with his very own eyes the Savior of the world who was promised for thousands of years before him as it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. His eyes were open and he saw and he knew then that he was ready. Ready to leave this earthly realm. He wasn't asking to die immediately because he had seen Jesus, but he knew that because he had seen Jesus, he was now ready to go in peace. Simeon had seen Christ as the Holy Spirit had promised to him for this long period of waiting. He would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And now, when his prayers had been answered and he was face to face with Jesus, he burst into song with which he glorified God for such a wonderful gift. "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." The song was not unlike that song of Mary or Zechariah, who had felt so honored by the presence of God in their life that they burst into a song of praise to the Most High. So it is appropriate that we sing that Nunc Dimittis when we sing it in the Divine Liturgy. It's sung in the place in the service where you have been in the very presence of Jesus. When you have had physical contact with your Savior, flesh and blood contact with Christ. The bloody sacrifice he made on the cross is made available to you here at the table. And for some 2,000 years, Christians all over the world have burst into this song of thanksgiving for the gift that they've received here in this meal. The awe we feel is the same awe that struck Mary by being honored to carry Jesus in her womb. The very honor felt by Zechariah to be able to name John the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The very same honor experienced by Simeon, who had waited all that time in the temple in order to catch a glimpse of the Christ child. And you are given that very same honor right here. It's no wonder you burst into song just like they did. In the weeks prior to Christmas, pastors spend a lot of time talking about the end times, the reality of the end of life as we know it, and the reality of life in eternity. There's a reason for that. For it's at the end of the year we tend to take stock about what the year has brought to us. And it's at the end of life that we do the same thing. You could evaluate your lives at the end of the year or at the end of the life the way the world evaluates things, by ticking off the good that you've done for your neighbors, balanced off with the evil things that you've done and thought and seen. Or you can evaluate whether or not you've seen Christ and you're ready to depart in peace. At Christmas, you're blessed with the celebration of the anniversary of the birth of Christ. And you celebrate it as a rebirth of Christ into your very own lives. His birth is a new beginning, just as the resurrection of Jesus paved the way for your own raising from the dead at the very end of time. I saw a cartoon picture one time that was created many years ago. It was a picture of the manger, and superimposed over it was a crucifix. The subscript read, "The reason for the season." That picture is a wonderful reminder of Christ's descent to earth for us. For it is seen in this picture that Jesus was born to die. Maybe this would be a somber picture for some who don't appreciate the power and glory of Jesus' death. But for us Christians who understand, it is a marvelous picture, a joyous picture that embodies the joy of Jesus' birth along with the power that He exhibits over death and sin. He came to rescue us from the powerful judgment of sin by His own death on that cross. He spilled out His very own blood so that we would be rescued from death and damnation. And therefore, we no longer have to fear death or the judgment that can accompany death. That's why we sing, as Simeon sang, "Lord, now let Thy servant depart in peace." It's this wondrous gift of Christ's birth and death and resurrection that gives us all consolation. So you're no longer looking for consolation, as Simeon was. You've found it. You've seen Him who is your consolation face to face. You have physically touched Him. He has physically touched you with His very own body and blood. Christ is your consolation. So you too are now ready to depart in peace. Amen. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He returns in glory. Amen.